So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to our weekly happy hour here on Trending. If you have a question or there's a topic you want to hear discussed, give us a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. That's the old-fashioned way, or you can DM us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you name it, we are here. We would love to hear from you. It's our happy hour. We talk about everything related to being happy. And something that was near and dear to my heart recently has been being a good conversationalist. I've recently moved to the Midwest. I have a new baby, new home, new area I've never lived. I mean, all of my family is in Southern California. Everyone was within an hour of one another. In fact, I haven't been able to talk about it a lot on air, and I'm still not fully there yet. It's a lot to process. But being a good conversationalist is something I've been thinking about in the face of meeting new people, in the face of not knowing anyone other than I do have a little bit of family in the area, praise God. But really, it's such a brand new area. I'm out of my comfort zone completely right now. So we'll talk about that in just a minute here. Jim O'Day, the executive director of Integrity Restored, will join me to discuss failure. Does it define you? Does it not? And also, how do we look at sin, regret, maybe resentful? We'll dive into how regret can also get in the way, or this idea of believing that you're a failure can really prevent you from being happy day to day. We'll also be joined by a special guest talking about an incredible effort in Montana, yes, people live in Montana, to prevent pornography from being accessible for kids and even adults, by adults choosing whether or not they want to buy in. Finally, it's our happy hour. We've been talking about how knowing the Ten Commandments can make you happier this Lent. So let's talk about the last seven of the commandments that have to do with treating other people right. So living in the Midwest now, again, I know no one. And when you start talking about, you know, having conversations with people you don't know, where do you even look at a person? Do you look at them in the face? Do you avoid eye contact at all costs? Do you look at your feet, their feet? Do you do that, you know, look past their shoulder? I always think it's really awkward when someone's always looking past your shoulder and you're like looking over your shoulder like, okay, what are you looking at right now? I had a cousin who I loved and his eyes would like dart all around when he talked, or he'd like avoid all eye contact all the time. They say people who are really brilliant avoid eye contact. I must be dumb because I totally make eye contact. So don't try to be smart now after this and avoid eye contact. I actually have a tip for where you can look in conversations. If you just hold it with me, because I think you're going to be surprised by the tip of where you should look. And I'm totally going to start practicing this. So if I meet new people, I'll be curious to see how it goes. I'll let you know. I will report because I'm in the new conversation place. But gentlemen, I know a lot of guys think that small talk is for women, but it's not. Just like you should be able to ask a good question, you should also be able to engage in good conversation. So as I've been thinking about this, I don't want to be in awkward moments. I need to freshen up on making friends and making conversation. And I kind of wonder, have you ever said something like, I wish I was good at making conversation, especially with strangers. I wish it was easy. Well, when I think about this from a Catholic perspective as well, a virtue is hospitality. Now, hospitality doesn't just have to do with coming into your space. That is other people coming into your space. I think the virtue of hospitality can also have to do with having a warm and welcoming persona and atmosphere when you're in other people's territory, or when you're standing in front of a brand new church, or getting to know someone in the grocery line, or just talking to the cashier. Do we as Christian people work on having that welcoming type of facade? Because I think it's easy for us to kind of have that harsh stance, crossed arms, and not really be someone who's quote-unquote approachable. I remember people in college used to tell me that I didn't really seem to be approachable. It was a lot of the guys who said that. I think it was just because I was busy and always had something to do. I don't know. I also didn't dress sloppy. I don't know. I'm like giving like the good compliments to myself. I probably acted snotty or something. I don't know. But I was always busy doing some sort of project, had something to do, and I talked about probably really intense topics. So maybe the problem was that I was a bad conversationalist. Because I'm like, let's talk about porn, guys, and abortion. Maybe that's why they thought I was not approachable. This is a lot to think about here. So I need this advice as much as the other person. And I've been diving into everything from the Wall Street Journal talking about how to avoid dominating and being dominated in a conversation to the Muse where they talk about life hacks and how we can be better at talking. So I've kind of fused a bunch of this together and really pondered it from a Christian perspective. And I think the first thing that has really stood out to me, and by the way, we're going to get to where you should look when you're talking to someone. You don't want to miss this because I think it's a good trick, although I might start giggling when I do it, especially if something's sticking out. I'll tell you in just a moment here. So listening to other people is probably the most important thing in conversations because it teaches us to actually take an interest in another person. How often, I mean, I know I do this all the time. Have you been on the phone with someone you really care about, and you want to have this conversation, and you're looking at your phone, engaging in a different conversation? And the next thing you know, 5 minutes have gone by, and all of a sudden you realized, I actually really wish I knew what they just said. Or, I feel like I didn't even talk to this person. Have you ever felt that way? Well, I think that taking an actual interest in people is that number one rule, and it starts with listening, with your full attention. And we're going to come to this a little bit more in a second with regard to body language, because I think this is important. Maybe I'll just jump there for a second here. Remember, communication, you hear people say it's 80% visual, or sorry, communication is only 20% words, and the rest is what's involved in communication. So some people have broken it down to where that 80% of nonverbal communication actually does have to do with a third of it, basically, a third of all communication being tone and voice, and nearly 50% is facial expression and posture. So I bring this up in relation to listening because we have to have a listening posture when we're face-to-face with people. But that also means if we're on the phone, we also have to have a listening posture then too. And if we're looking at our phone while talking on the phone, it kind of doesn't really happen that well. Now, it's another thing if you're folding laundry or fixing a leaky sink, maybe you can have a great conversation, be fully present. But I don't know about scrolling social media and sending text messages allows me personally to be present to the conversation. So listening to people and taking a vested interest in them. Now, this is a really good one. I read that you should have a 50-50 balance in the conversation. You speak 50% of the time, the other person speaks 50% of the time. But I kind of disagree with that because if you're stressing out about like making sure that you say 5 words and they say only 52, I mean, I don't know. It could be a little overwhelming. So here are a couple things you can do. If you feel like you've been talking for a while, ask them a question, even if it abruptly changes the subject. Because it can also stimulate them to be more involved again in the conversation. It can also prevent gossiping. It can make the other person feel more comfortable if it's a topic they've either become bored with or uncomfortable with. But also, if we're sticking with the rule of actually being interested in other people, well, then the questions we ask can be intentional. Hey, I noticed you're wearing this. Or I noticed that you have kids. Or I noticed that you said you really, really like going for mountain bike rides. Boom. All of a sudden, all you have to say is that, and the conversation can take off in a different direction until you find a new talking point. You don't have to go in with that awkward list of 5 questions to ask people. All you have to do is start with actually listening. This now comes to building the bridge in our culture where suddenly we can no longer be friends with people who disagree with us. This comes back to debating and disagreeing on things. have a conversation rather than a debate. And I'm going to add this in there. Have a conversation rather than lecturing someone. Oh, goodness. I know a lot of lecturers. You know, when you sit down, you're talking to someone, and next thing you know, it's been half an hour, and you're like pulling on your face. You're looking for a way to get out. You actually maybe even really have to go to the bathroom, but you can't quite get out of the conversation. I'm sometimes bad at getting out of conversations. I'll be like backing out of the room. I'm dying here. But just say, hey, I gotta go. If you're stuck in a lecture, and come back, break up the conversation, and ask a new question. But also remember to embrace the differences that we have with other people. Build a common ground. Let other people actually share what they think. And that leads us to another point that I think is really the final one. Be yourself. If you're truly respecting and listening and accepting the other person, doesn't mean you're adopting their ideas. Well, then that should allow you the, I hate these words, safe space in order to share your thoughts on religion, politics, your beliefs, opinion, whatever it might be. But remember, how we stand matters. We can make facial expressions that, although we might have, what is it, RBF, do you know what that is? Resting bleep face. Work on smiling, even if it's awkward and you feel like you're just, your cheeks are hurting. Know if you have RBF, resting bleep face, okay? You should really know if you do or not. I know people are scratching their heads like, okay, what is this? Yeah, put Karen saying put a pencil between your teeth and just smile real big. So also, maybe you're someone who crosses their arms a lot. Try to stand with your arms by your sides. I know it can be awkward. Sometimes I feel like I've just flopped my arms down and I look really weird. But it's helpful to make other people feel welcoming. Maybe we should just like reach our arms out and sing kumbaya. Not really sure if we're doing a sign of peace, holding hands, not holding hands. I mean, whatever's kosher now in COVID. But, you know, here are just a couple things that can help. Make sure you don't stand too close to people, a couple feet apart, and maybe even angle your body posture just a little bit. Lucas is asking if we should stroke a beard here. Does that make a person think you're more interesting? It might make me personally think that it could be dirty depending on how you stroke the beard. It could be a nervous habit. Or it could be that, you know, people are thinking you're really thinking a lot and you're an intellectual. So maybe you just stroke the beard and then people will be interested in talking to you. Okay, now here's the tidbit. This comes from a PhD. He's a professor at Wichita State University. He's a professor of communication science and disorders. So he knows if we're disordered with how we communicate. He also teaches on audiology and neuroscience. And here's what he said for where you should look when you're having a conversation. Not the eyes, because it's too intimate and can make people feel uncomfortable. And also can make the other person feel like you're concentrating too hard on them and too hard on the conversation. He says to look people in the nose. In the nose. I would almost go for between the brows. I don't know. Okay, so try the nose or between the eyebrows. Okay, Patrick's saying he looks the people in the forehead. That's a good one. It's close to between the nose. These tricks. So let me know how your nose looking conversational skills go, or maybe what your tips and tricks are. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. It's great to be with you. My guest today is the executive director of Integrity Restored. His name's Jim O'Day, and we want to talk about failure. It's so important. So often, sometimes we feel like a failure, and it can really get in the way of our happiness. Jim, welcome to Trending.
Hey, Tim Ray, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to talk about this topic, both from a faith perspective and a secular perspective, when we feel like we've failed, how it can get in the way of self-confidence. But at the same time, Jim, I think this is really interesting from a man's perspective, because failure also has a lot to do with taking risks and being okay with taking risks. And I don't know that we should necessarily feel bad for taking risks. So share your thoughts here.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things with failure is we're all going to experience it. I don't think there's anybody whose life has been a perfect track record, right? And so we have to think back to a time when we failed. And at that moment, man, it can feel like completely the end of the world. Yet, you woke up the next morning, didn't you? And so the question about failure is how we frame it in our minds. Do we let it defeat us and hold us down or keep us going? Because every time we've failed, what we've actually done is overcome an obstacle.
And that's so important to understand, whether we really have, you know, maybe it's been a sin, and we're going to touch on that in a little bit, but whether it's an obstacle of we tried something. And so then it begs the question, how should we really feel when we fail? My argument should be that if we recognize that we failed, that's a really great opportunity of being able to move on. So at the same time as the failure may be a negative, the acknowledgement of the failure is a positive because it allows an opportunity for growth. But I think a lot of people have a hard time getting past that point.
I agree. And there's just four quick examples I want to give you that the listeners may not know of that I found very interesting. Abraham Lincoln, he failed in both business and campaigning before he was elected president. Bill Gates, kind of current guy. We all think of him as very successful. He was a Harvard school dropout. Einstein didn't speak until he was 4 years old, and he was told by his teachers he wasn't smart enough.
Wow.
And Thomas Edison tried 1,000 times before he got that light bulb to work.
Wow. Some of the most successful people that our culture would perceive, both modern and in terms of our founding fathers and beyond.
Right. And so much of that, I think, when I think of those stories and many other ones, myself included, I, by the world standard, was a failure. I had a business that failed and cost my family almost everything, Timory. We lost our home. We lost our cars.
Wow.
We lost our community, our church, because we had to move. All those things that could define us. Yet, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be sitting here today as the executive director of Integrity Restored.
Amen.
So
God has a plan.
Was it a failure or a learning lesson?
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the vision of yourself that you hold. Wow. Are you defeated? Are you broken? Are you not good enough? Or are you a survivor? You know I love the martial arts, and we've talked about it even on your show.
Yes.
And so I tell people when I'm teaching them, in your life, things are going to go wrong. In your life, you're going to get knocked down. But be a warrior, not a worrier.
I love that. Be a warrior, not a worrier. It's so important. And it could be you feel like a failure. Maybe you too have tried to start a business. Maybe you've been applying for a new job over and over again, or asking for that raise and praying for the raise, and it's been a couple years, or, you know, whatever it might be for you. And maybe you're struggling with a pornography addiction and you feel like you just keep getting put down because you keep falling. You keep looking at those images, the videos, even though you check in with people, you got the filtration software. It's so easy to feel like a failure because we look at ourselves in terms of, well, if I don't get ahead, I am nothing. But that's not true. That's to say that if we don't get ahead, we're nothing. But the reality is that sometimes in order to move forward to the right means we have to move sideways to the left, go back, and then try to go to the right. You know, I think of that one game, you used to play it at arcades. I haven't been to an arcade in forever, where it's a little chomping mouth, and the chomping mouth is trying to go through and eat all the candies. And I can't remember what it's called, but it's chomping through, it hits a wall, well, then it turns around and goes in another direction, then it goes up, and then it turns around, bumps the wall, and then it finds a hole and path through. That's kind of how we have to look at our lives, in a sense.
And that's where you're learning, right? We learn best through difficulties and adversities. Those are the lessons we really hold on to, as long as we see them for that, for being a lesson. Viktor Frankl, the Holocaust survivor, once said, "Don't aim for success, because the more you aim at it and make it a target, the more you will miss it. Success, like happiness, cannot be pursued. It must ensue as the unintended side effect of your personal dedication to a course greater than yourself." That's a pretty heavy statement. So really what we have to ask ourselves then is, how do you define success? Is it the need to be important, to be seen? I don't know. I mean, everybody I've spoken to, everything I've read, external rewards and achievements don't ever get you there. Mm-hmm. What does get you there is that self-esteem, that confidence in yourself, primarily as a beloved son or daughter of an incredibly loving and merciful God. And we're going to talk about that a little more in the next section.
Yes. And I have a question for you quick. What would you say, especially to any of us, but especially fathers and husbands who feel like they failed in the past and they're afraid to take another risk?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Every day we're allowed to get up and be a new person. That's our choice. Every single day. And God gives us that blessing. So the first thing we should do is thank him for that blessing that we're awake and given another day and another opportunity to try.
That's Jim O'Day, the Executive Director of Integrity Restored. Check them out, integrityrestored.com, helping people who struggle with pornography addiction and their loved ones. We'll be right back with Jim O'Day to talk about sin and failure. What do we think about that, especially when we hold on to regret? I have a confession to make. This is Timory from Trending with Timory. No, this isn't a bless me, Father, for I have sinned moment. I'm a total crunchy granola mom. The way I parent, the way I love my kid, well, I admit it, I'm there. I don't know about you. I love the way my mom parented. I love the way my great-grandmother parented. And there's a lot of wisdom and tricks. So I'd love to hear from you. Join me Tuesday, 6 p.m. Central, on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to Trending. My guest is the Executive Director of Integrity Restored. That's Jim O'Day. You can find them at integrityrestored.com. They help people who are struggling with pornography addiction and their loved ones. So go check them out at integrityrestored.com. Jim O'Day is joining us during our happy hour today to discuss holding on to sin or regret. We've been talking about what it feels like when you think you're a failure and how failure can really cause us to lose a sense of happiness. Often our perceived failure can mean different things, though, and it isn't necessarily bad. So, for example, you can recognize that you maybe failed at something, but that doesn't mean that failure is just what you have to sit in, because that recognition in and of itself, especially when it comes to sin, can actually be a win. That means our conscience is working and we have remorse for what we've done. So, Jim, what are your thoughts here when you first think about sin or regret holding us back?
Well, one of the things here at Integrity Restored, Timory, unfortunately, we hear all the time is people struggling with the same sin of pornography or other sexual sin. And they just feel like because of that, God is so far away from them. And in fact, for the next 2 weeks on the Integrity Restored podcast, we're going to be covering some of those specific stories and how we would respond to them. And I'm joined by Father Mitch Pacwa for those two sessions. And it's really amazing, because if we can separate failing from being a failure and our sin from being a beloved son or daughter of a merciful God, well, what a healthier mindset we can create.
You know, I like that. Let's say that one more time. Separate failure from being a failure.
Failing from being a failure and sin from being a beloved son or daughter of a merciful God. Because those are the two truths, right? We cannot be a failure because God created us. And yes, we sin, but we are still beloved. The accusations that we hear, that we feel, that we create in ourselves, that's not from God. That's from the evil one. He is the father of lies. He wants us to feel that way. You know, Father Michael Gately, incredible priest, told me one time, Jim, God never tires of forgiving us. We tire of asking his forgiveness.
Isn't it true? And I think of even St. Paul in Philippians 4:13, a passage that we know, we hear all the time, but we're reminded of this. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. God is on our side. He's on our team. There's no separation between us and God. All that we can do is separate ourselves from him. He never separates himself from us. And his mercy is always there for us. But we don't always want to accept it. And sometimes that's a problem. We think, well, I've committed this sin, or I failed at doing X and providing for my family. Say, because you've, you know, failed at running a business that you had started. You know, you feel so lousy in so many circumstances that you further separate yourself from God than perhaps the sin you've actually committed.
Oh, and Timmy, in that example, my example of failing at a business and losing everything, I was so angry at God, Timmy. I was so angry.
I was convinced
that what I was doing was his will when I bought this business. I had prayed about it. I had thought about it. And it's only in hindsight that I understand that, yes, it was his will. Because if all those things didn't happen, I wouldn't be sitting where I am today getting this incredible opportunity to help thousands and thousands of people, thousands and thousands of families, thousands and thousands of souls come back to the Father's love.
Praise God. It's perspective.
Amen.
Isn't
Has it been tough?
It?
Yes.
Yeah. It's financially, all the perspective was it, we take.
Yes.
Financially. Yeah.
Financially was horrible. And I still haven't recovered, but that's okay. Mm-hmm.
God has.
That's okay. And I don't want to give away too much of the podcast because I hope your listeners will tune in. But Father Mitch had a great quote. Jesus is our advocate before the Father. Jesus is our defense attorney. We have a good Jewish lawyer, ladies and gentlemen, begging for us before the Father's throne to forgive us our sin. Don't turn away from that. Accept it.
We hear that phrase from our Protestant brothers and sisters so often. Perhaps we don't say it enough ourselves as Catholics. Jesus saves. He saves us from our situations. He saves us in the face of our failure. He saves us in the face of the sins that we can and do commit. Again, St. Paul understood this. We know that St. Paul himself battled some sort of sin when he talks about, I do the very things I wish I didn't do. And he talks about fighting the fight, winning the race, winning the prize. And he's the one who says in Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. He took risks. He put himself out. I mean, all the way to the point of being imprisoned. And imagine, we think of him as a great hero, as an evangelizer, but he probably at times could have very easily thought of himself as a failure because he ended up in prison. Because
well,
he
and
up
I'm sure the tent making business was a lot more profitable and easier. Right? He could have always gone back to that, but
right.
He didn't.
So let's talk about this briefly. So often we like to say, well, our sin, we define ourselves according to our sin. So we could say, I'm just a gossip. I'm just a thief. I'm just an adulterer. I'm just gay. I don't know. Whatever it is, the sin that you yourself struggle with. But here's the thing. I think this is where we have to talk about regret a little bit. Because there's a difference, I think, between regretting something and remorse. You know, it's one thing, I think a lot of people today, Jim, will say, I never regret anything. I think there's something wrong with that. I don't think you should sit here and be like, man, like, I'm so glad that I smoked pot for 20 years of my life, and now I'm on the straight and narrow. No, we can regret that we made a bad choice, but we don't have to sit there in constant resentment for what we've done. We can have remorse, which is to be sorry for what we've done, but regret is an emotion that I think can overcome a lot of people in the sense of wishing they'd never done something they did.
Right. And if I meet somebody who would say to me, I don't regret anything, I mean, narcissist much? Really? Come on. But there's a difference to me between regret and remorse. Remorse is where we're sorry because we knew we did something that didn't honor God or our families or the trust in a friendship or whatever. And it's okay to feel remorse for that. Look, we screwed up. But regret is that kind of thing I hear about when people use that word with me. It's that sin that you have to keep confessing and you're just stuck in it. Well, don't be stuck in it. Confess the sin. And like we just talked about before the break, every day we have the opportunity to get up and be a new person. Every single day. A new creation with Jesus' help, with the Holy Spirit. So fight the fight. Be the warrior. Sometimes you're going to fail. That's all right. Get up again.
And Jim, you are someone who knows. You have been in so many different industries. You now work in the nonprofit, giving your skill, your coaching, your love for our Lord and people, and helping them to overcome addiction. But you have been in sales. You have been in so many different fields. And just name a couple of them for those who are listening right now.
Sure. I worked in, a number of different industries and had a couple of my own businesses, but consumer products, Department of Defense, Homeland Security, owned a couple of businesses myself. And you learn from all these lessons. Mm-hmm. You take your sales skills, your marketing, your how to read a profit and loss statement, and you build on all these things, and God allows all these experiences
Amen.
To keep
Amen.
You moving forward. And the most important thing we can remember, and I've learned, if you help somebody else, you're really helping yourself.
Amen. And maybe you're someone who's struggling with a particular sin. You're struggling with that remorse, that resentment, and I will say for myself, since I had my baby, it had been really hard for me to get to confession. So I let that go on a little longer than usual. It had been a couple months since I finally made it to confession. And I'm not kidding. It was just a weight off of my shoulders. I mean, even my shoulders didn't hurt as much when I came walking out of confession. There was, you know, a little skip in my step. And this is why confession changes things, because it helps us to acknowledge something we've done wrong, to name it, to have the intention not to commit it again, but also the intention to overcome. What are we going to do to avoid the near occasion of sin? So that battle plan kicks in. Then we confess it, and we're literally forgiven by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then we're given that penance to really restore us back into communion in a deeper sense by also having something we can do in our prayer. Our prayer that continues to say, Lord, I'm sorry. But also to say thank you for the gift of your forgiveness. And that allows us, once we've healed that vertical relationship with God, these horizontal relationships that we've damaged by our sin, or even damaged in ourselves, start to come back into a proper sense of healing, overcoming that resentment, that guilt, that sense of failure. Jim O'Day, Integrity Restored, is well aware of that struggle for so many people as he works with people who have struggled with pornography addiction. Check them out at integrityrestored.com. Again, we'll post a link to that in the show notes on relevantradio.com/trending. I will be right back with you to discuss something perhaps you might consider doing in your own state to make porn inaccessible for minors. We'll be right back.
Timory will be right back. You can reach her on Instagram and Twitter at Timmerie. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
My guest is joining me now, said something to me earlier today. He said, "I'm just a dad." And I was so touched by that comment. And here's why. This man wrote a bill in the state of Montana, House Bill 492, which you can get behind and support. There's still a possibly a fighting chance. He'll share more with us to help protect kids from pornography by making it basically that you have to opt in as an adult if you want your service provider to even give access to pornographic content. So joining me now is the man who's quote unquote just a dad. And what I will say is a man who cares about his children. And who cares about other people's children and even about adults opting into having access to pornography on their internet provider. Joining me now is Brian O'Leary. Share with us a little bit about House Bill 492, what it is, the update, and what people can do to both support it and maybe replicate this in their own state. Connection. Something was going wrong a little bit with his connection. We'll reconnect with him here in a moment, but I'll share with you just a little bit about this bill. Basically, it would create it where in the state of Montana, if passed, they would make it so that pornography, and they very clearly define pornography, would not be accessible through the internet server. So essentially, there's a loophole that occurs in the United States where a kid, a minor, can't go and purchase, let's say, Playboy magazine or other pornographic printed content, but they can't purchase a phone. They can purchase a computer. They can purchase any type of smart device or tablet, and there they can actually access the pornography. And so this bill is addressing the loophole so that they won't have access if the parents so choose. So share with us a little bit more, Brian O'Leary.
Thanks so much, Timory. I think you pretty much covered it. I mean, what this does is it basically requires internet service providers to be able to give consumers who are adults an option. So basically the way this would work would be Verizon or AT&T would send you a text message and say, would you like to opt into hardcore pornography? And a person would have to say yes. And if they didn't opt in or if they didn't make a determination, then hardcore pornography would automatically be filtered. This has been tested in the Supreme Court. Basically, all we're doing is creating a way to filter content that's already illegal for kids under 18. I mean, a kid can't go into a store and buy a Playboy magazine, but he can buy a phone at the Verizon store and and stream whatever he wants. So we're trying to close this loophole. And we're trying to give people and even adults the ability to say, hey, listen, I don't want that on my phones and I don't want that in my home. And there's no reason why these guys can't filter this content. It's very easy to do technically, even the smallest ISPs all the way up to the biggest telecoms.
What inspired you to write this? Because it seems like a very common sense bill, something that I think most people on both sides of the political spectrum could get behind. So what's the update and what inspired you?
Well, the inspiration was really we saw how much of a problem this was. I mean, I think everybody's seen how much of a problem it is. And I think you just have to bring it out and recognize, hey, this is a problem. You know, Satan likes to hide in the shadows. And the best way to combat him is just to bring it out and talk about it. Just the way you've been talking about it and Jim O'Day and, you know, talking about doing things like getting back to confession. But we saw this as a problem. And I had said a few years ago, you know, I think these internet providers are going to come around and do this voluntarily. And they just didn't. So I finally said, look, we got to do something about it. And my hope is that people in other states are listening to this and they'll want to do this in their own state. and then law enforcement people and prosecutors and attorneys general are listening to this, and they'll want to actually start enforcing it. The fact of the matter is the internet providers are breaking the law right now. They're pushing hardcore pornography to minors, to people under 18, who by laws in all 50 states should not have access to that content. So it's about time men need to, you know, and men and women and families, we need to stand up and start to fight back against this and say, you know what? It is not right for me to have access to the internet at all that I have to accept all of this other content. And, you know, as a parent, a father or mother, that I've got to go ahead and install all this software. What we say mm-hmm. is, look, if the city water was poisoned, no legislator would go to a homeowner and say, well, hey, you should just put a filter in your own house. I mean, that just wouldn't happen. They'd say, fix the city water. I don't want the right. poison in my house.
Especially for your kids. Especially
yeah, for your kids. Yeah. And so we have the sponsor of this bill is a guy named Brad Sheeta, who's just a really brave guy and a warrior. And we got great support from a national organization called the Safe House Project. And we just hope people would call the Montana governor's office. And the phone number for the governor is 406-444-3111. That's 406-444-3111. Because quite honestly, our problem is not Democrats on this. It's Republicans who are not helping fight this evil.
Amen. That's it, Brian. Again, he shared the information. If you would like to do something about this bill, again, they're saying that there you can contact your governor. They have been fighting this. You'd think this is something that everyone could get behind and agree on, but it takes people like you and I being willing to share the information, have the conversation, and really make it so that we can move forward, something that we really do see eye to eye on with most all parents. This has to do with kids. Being safe yeah. from harmful content that can lead to self-harm, essentially, that can lead to addiction. I mean, why wouldn't we jump behind this? And this is something that can be replicated in other states. I hope there are more men like you, Brian, who say, I'm just a dad who wants to protect kids here. I'm just a parent who's willing to speak up. And we were just talking about failure earlier in the show today. And I know that this has been a real fight there with House Bill 492 in Montana, and whether it makes it or not, what will you do moving past this first attempt right now?
Well, we've written this in a way where it's so simple and it's so easy that there's no reason why every state can't do it. And frankly, we've written it in a way where we believe that the telecoms and the internet companies, once their lawyers figure out, hey, this bill helps us, it helps us protect our liability from distributing pornography to minors, which is basically what they're doing right now, and it helps them improve their business models. So we really wrote it to be a win-win. We wrote it to be something that even, you know, that people on, regardless of whether they're Republicans or Democrats or libertarians or far left folks, we wrote it in a way that preserves people's privacy and it gives them a choice, because we really feel that a lot of people, no matter what their faith group and no matter what their politics, a lot of people feel, hey, I'd really like to have a choice whether that stuff comes into my house or not. And, mm-hmm. you know, and everybody, you know, look, everybody's seen everything at this point. You know, we try not to make it, you know, a value judgment, you know, and we just need to face what this is as a problem and try to protect our children from it.
Amen. Brian, thank you so much for joining us here on Trending. We continue to support your fight. We pray that bills such as this will be brought up across the nation. If you want to learn more, you can find a link on our show page for how you can get in contact if you're interested with the Montana governor. And you don't have to live in the state of Montana. And perhaps you want to do something similar in your own state. We need parents to speak up, to make changes for kids. I mean, this is our weekly happy hour here on Trending. And it makes me happy to hear and see people who are willing to fight, to be people of action. We were talking about failure earlier today on the show. You know, the biggest problem with failure is that we don't get back up and keep running. But also, when we don't even get up to begin with, I think that that's the greatest challenge for us. Is so often there's something we know we should do, but we don't do. And this ties into this last topic during our happy hour that I want to talk about. Father Rocky, a couple weeks ago, was on the show at the beginning, just before Lent. And I asked him, you know, what's that one thing you wish you had done when you were younger, you tell other people to do during Lent? And he said, memorize the Ten Commandments. And so last week, we talked about the first three commandments having to do with God and how you're happier when you put yourself in the right order with Him. If you didn't catch that podcast, we'll go ahead and post a link to it in the show notes. You can find them at relevantradio.com/trending. Awesome conversation, because we really are happier when we honor God's name. We don't take it in vain. When we keep holy the Lord's day and we only have one God, we don't put other gods before ourselves. But what about the other seven commandments? Father Rocky referred to these as basically how we treat God's people, how we interact with others. And I could go through naming them all: honoring our parents, not killing, not committing adultery or stealing, not bearing false witness, not coveting our neighbor's spouse, not coveting their goods. And maybe you're listening, you're like, okay, and you're saying, I don't do any of these things. But what about sins of omission? What about the sins in relation to these seven commandments in particular, where we don't stand up for our neighbor? Where we're allowing for the so-called status quo and pop culture to continue to reign. Here's this man, and he said to me earlier today, as I was asking him, like, how can people get more involved? He said, I'm just a dad. He's a dad who's taking action and caring for his children. He's not allowing his kids to enter into this sin of adultery just by, because that's pornography falls underneath that category. Among others, it can fall under other of the Ten Commandments as well. But he does not want to create an environment where his kids are easily able to fall into that. He is taking on upon himself his responsibility as a father, not just for his children, but for other people's children as well. When other people aren't standing up and saying, the buck stops here, this content will not enter my home. Maybe it's something else. Again, I don't do these things. I don't commit these sins against these seven commandments. But how do you contribute to them? What sins of omission are you engaging in? This is a question we all have to ask ourselves, because it is so easy to say, this is what I don't do. But what do you do? What do I do? What conversations do I avoid because I'm uncomfortable? Perhaps there's a conversation where people are talking about abortion as blasé. Here's a perfect example. Have you ever been in a situation where someone makes a joke about abortion and they think that's okay? And maybe they even intentionally say, there's someone I met, Catholic, a few years ago, and they knew that I was very pro-life. And so they thought it would be funny, kind of a jokester type of individual, to make a joke about abortion. And I just looked at, that's not funny at all. And this person really thought that this would be a great way to, and maybe he's just bad at making conversation. We talked about being great conversationalists earlier. And don't talk about bad things. Maybe that's in things that are going to irritate people because it's so wrong. And it's not something you joke about. But we are contributing to an abortion culture when we say nothing. When we just kind of giggle and like, oh yeah, that's funny. It's not funny. It's wrong. And so when we look at these last of the seven commandments, don't just say, I don't do these things, but how have I contributed to them by my own omission? This is something we can work on this Lent. This is an examination of conscience that I know I need to add into my examination more often. How have I failed in speaking up, in doing nothing? Where am I called to step up and stand up more often? You're listening to Trending with Tim Marie. Tomorrow on Trending, my guest is Father Tim Grumbach. Also, I have a confession to make, and I'll make it tomorrow on air. So moms, join me, because I would love to hear your thoughts. And it's not just for moms tomorrow during Trending. I'll be back. I have a confession to make. This is Tim Marie from Trending with Tim Marie. No, this isn't a bless me, Father, for I have sinned moment. I'm a total crunchy granola mom. The way I parent, the way I love my kid, well, I admit it, I'm there. I don't know about you. I love the way my mom parented. I love the way my great-grandmother parented. And there's a lot of wisdom and tricks. So I'd love to hear from you. Join me Tuesday, 6 p.m. Central, on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.